and verse number me to serve him. John's Gospel, chapter 12, and verse number 20, the Bible said, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Then the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." I want to preach a little while this morning on serving the Lord. Would you pray with us? Father in heaven, I thank you for the good preaching we've heard already today. Thank you for the Spirit of God that's made application to our lives. I pray, dear Lord, that you might help us to be sensitive to your leadership, that you might fill us with your power, anoint us with fresh oil. And dear Lord, I pray that your perfect will be accomplished today. May this be profitable time. I pray that you rebuke the enemy. We plead the blood of Christ for liberty, for power, and I pray your will be accomplished. For Jesus' sake I pray, amen and amen. Here is the sinner's personal choice. Notice verse 26. That little two-letter word, if. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So the sinner's personal choice. We need to understand that there is a great difference between salvation in the Lord and serving the Lord. I got saved June 14th, 1960. But this matter of serving the Lord is a personal choice. And by the way, you determine that, whether you serve the Lord or not. We have an opportunity. We've had enough preaching in this meeting that we should be in a state of revival. And yet we are not seeing everything that God wants to do, because it hinges on that little word, if any man serve me. It's a choice I made. It was Joshua who said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's a determination made. He said, I'm going to serve God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to waste your time. I don't waste the time that God's allotted me. I want to use my life for the glory of the Lord. I want him to be honored through my life, my testimony, the preaching of the word. I want God to be glorified. And so Paul said it this way. He said, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And so we must understand the difference between salvation in the Lord and serving the Lord. Salvation brings us into the family of God, and a service is a choice we make. I believe we're not seeing as many people respond to the call of God in their life today, but that's their choice. I want to say to you, God has never made one person repent. I repented because I wanted to repent. And listen, God will not make any person be made to go to heaven. When we got saved, we desired to be saved. God created that hunger in our heart, that drawing by the Spirit of God, that want to in our soul. I'm thankful that he gave me that desire to be saved. And the same goes for serving the Lord. If it's his love that sends us out to serve him, not because of a wicked taskmaster, but because of our love for the Lord. I'm grateful that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And so there's conditions to be met in serving the Lord on our part, there must be a choice for service. In the book of Matthew 6 and 24, the Bible said no man can serve two masters. And you understand today, you can't serve God with one foot in the world and another foot in church. I'm saying to you, the choice for service is yours. And then it's to be with a clean heart. Notice with me, in the book of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles it is, in the book of 1 Chronicles, I'd like to look at chapter 28 of 1 Chronicles and share with you just one verse. The Bible said in verse number 9 of 1 Chronicles 28, he said, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know that the Lord, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." And so I'm saying, yes, we're to serve God with a clean heart. That's why David said in Psalm 51 and 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." I meet a lot of fellows that claim to be fundamentalists. They're mean as junkyard dogs in the matter of presenting a message. I want to say to you, you can still be a fundamentalist and be sound in teaching and be sane in your preaching. Amen. You're welcome. I'm saying, I'm glad. I hear some folks talk about folks going to hell. It's almost like they're glad they're going. Heard a man say one time, talking about a sodomite, he said, "I wish they were all in hell." And my well-known preacher, because I say to you, back in my heart, I said, "I don't believe Jesus would say that." And so may God help us to be sane in our conversation. But we serve God with complete confidence. In the book of Acts chapter 27, Acts chapter 27, notice what Paul said in Acts 27 and verse 23. He said, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Be of good cheer." He said, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." He said, "Been talking to God. God been talking to me. Gonna believe it's gonna take place just like God said it." Amen. And I'm saying to you, you don't have to explain away the Word of God. You preach the Word of God. Amen. I'm saying there's a group of preachers today that preach about the Word of God, and then there's another group that preaches the Word of God. I want to be a man to preach the Word of God, not the opinions of men, not my thoughts, but what God said. And so there's consideration of the cost. We've got to count the cost according to Luke chapter 4, 14 and 28. And then there's a constraining love of the saints in Galatians 5, 13. And then there's a complete turning from sin if we're going to serve God, a complete turning from sin. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse number 9. But in verse number 26 of John 12, he said, "If any man serve me, him will my Father." He said, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." That's speaking of the Savior's presence in our life. He said, "Where I am, there shall also my servant be." What a promise to realize that our ministry is not a solo ministry. It's a duet. It's Jesus in us. It's Christ working in us to accomplish his purpose. And he has to work in us before he can work through us. I don't know about you, but I want to be an effective servant of the Lord Jesus. Make no apology about it. No retreat. No regrets. I'm grateful to be a child of the King and a servant of my Master. I'm saying, Jesus said in Hebrews 13, he said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And so these truths were evident in the lives of those who served God in the past, but just also those who served God in the present. He was with Moses in the wilderness. And by the way, God got Moses' attention by that burning bush. The bush wasn't in the fire. The fire was in the bush. But God got his attention. I'm saying he was with Moses in the wilderness. He's with Joshua in the war. He's with Elijah the servant in the time of weakness. He was with David when he was attacked by wild animals. He's with Mary and Martha when Lazarus had died and they're weeping. He's with the disciples when the when the waves threaten them. He's with the early church when the world opposed them. He's with Paul when he was shipwrecked on sea. He's with John on the wasteland of Patmos. And I'll say to you, he'll be with you. Amen. He'll be with you, his servant. Wherever he sends you, there he'll be with you. Amen. And so I'm grateful that he promised never to leave us alone. It was Job who said, the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. I don't believe it's talking about Job losing his children, losing his wealth, losing his health, losing the support of his wife. I believe Job was saying this. He said, he passed by me and I perceived him not. He said, I looked on my left hand, couldn't find God. Looked on my right hand, couldn't find God. Looked before me, couldn't find God. Looked behind me, couldn't find God. But you come to chapter 42. He said, I've heard thee with the hearing of mine ear. Now mine eye seeth thee. I think Job was saying, the thing which I greatly feared, that thing, it's not things, it's the one thing that it greatly feared. I believe he was saying, losing the conscious presence of God in his life. Could I say to you, I'm glad that he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. But there's times in my life that I don't sense his presence. I don't feel his presence. But whether I sense him or feel him doesn't change the promise. He said, Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And so I'm saying, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now think, do you think of anything greater than to have God our Father honor our efforts to serve him? So let me develop a little bit of that and we'll be done. God will honor those who faithfully follow him. He said, moreover, it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. And by the way, you still can live for God in a world that's against God and everything he stands for. You see, the faithfulness, he will honor you with his faithfulness to reveal his will for your life. To those who walk in the light and his love and his liberty. The light of the scriptures, the love of his son, and the liberty of the spirit. And again, young and old, one of the most frequent asked questions is how can I know God's will for my life? I don't believe you'll know God's will for your life apart from the word of God in your life. And it's the Spirit of God that indwells us, that guides us into all truth. I'm glad that he's checked me. He's blocked me along the way. Things that I thought was the right thing to do, and God shut it down. And I bless his name for his protection, how he's provided for me the protection I need. For one bad step could ruin your testimony forever. I'm grateful for the fact that he said he'd honor us with his faithfulness to reveal his will. I know God's will for my life according to the word of God and according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Acts 22 and verse 14, Ananias said to Saul of Tarsus after his conversion, the God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see the just one, hear his voice, and be his witness. And by the way, that's all the way it was, all the time. That's the way it worked. See his face, hear his voice, be his witness. In the book of Isaiah 30 and 21, he said, thou shalt hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it when you turn to the left and when you turn to the right. Guess which way they were walking? They're walking away from God. And he said, I'm glad that God is interested in my service for him, and he guides my step, and he fills my heart with his love for his word and for his will and for his work. And so if the Lord is calling you, and by the way, I do believe God's calling. If the Lord's calling you for a certain ministry, he without a doubt will give you a desire born of God to do it. I'm in churches pretty regular, and this concerns me. Now, I'm not the judge, but it concerns me that here's 6, 8, 10 men that said God called them to preach that are sitting in a local church. And by the way, I'm grateful for your faithfulness to God and faithfulness to the church. But if God's called you to preach, then get at it. Start at it today. Let the Lord guide you. And he said, him that followeth me, him will my Father honor if we'll serve him. And so I'm reminded today that the desire will not go away if God has a will for your life, and he does. He has a will for your life, and it'll be like a fire within you. The love of Christ constraineth us, 2 Corinthians 5:14. And I'm said that he gives us direction. I'm thankful for his providence in my life. I'm not near as young as I used to be, but I'm becoming more conscious of the providential hand of God in my life, how God shifts things, how God changes things, how God positions things. My wife had her open heart surgery, the valve replacement back in November. We'd already met with the surgeons, and they're projecting this procedure to be done 2 weeks down the road. And they're getting her prepared for that, and then she collapses at home. But it just so happened that my daughter was there that morning. She came by to help her mother. And when she collapsed, she called the ambulance, and so she went. My wife was taken to the hospital, providential hand of God. The surgeons that were doing that procedure that day had already finished for the day. And that it was not the same one that we'd counseled with before. But when I got to the hospital, the surgeons came out. Two new surgeons came out, and they said, "Sir, we need to let you know that this is a very high risk procedure. But it would be a greater risk that she does not have it." I said, "Sir, do all you can. I'm going to be praying that God will guide your hands." And so when they came out after the surgery, they came out and said, "Sir, everything went well, and it was a whole lot better than we expected." And I said, "Thank God those surgeons was there. Thank God they took her right into the emergency room, into the operating room." And I'm grateful for the providential hand of God, how God protects us day by day and step by step. And oftentimes, we're not even conscious of it, and we don't give him praise and glory for it. I'm grateful that I can say with the songwriter, "All the way my Savior leads me. What am I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide?" I'm grateful for his faithfulness. And he said, "Him that served me, him will my Father honor." He honors by his faithfulness. And so there's a direction providentially. There's a direct speaking from the scriptures. And again, God will not only honor you by revealing his will, he will do it by revealing his word. I am thankful for that. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 14, that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. He has no ability to know them. But listen, the lost man is incapable of receiving truth. And again, he's insensitive, he's foolish, he's tasteless, he's ignorant of the Word of God. But when our lives are dedicated to serve the Lord, we have the promise of Christ. We have the promise of Christ concerning his word. The Bible said in John chapter 10, he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." I'm thankful that he speaks to us. "My sheep hear my voice." He leads by his word as a shepherd leads his sheep by his voice. Psalm 19 verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And so the word of God, are you listening? The word of God will bring you to spiritual maturity. And so I see his wonders. The picture is painted in Psalm 19, verse 1. He said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." We're told in John chapter 1 that God is a creator, and by him all things was created. And so there's a matter of the provision he provides for us. Philippians 4:19, he said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm grateful that he is my supply. But in Psalm 62 and verse number 5, it said, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. I'm saying my source is from God, but my expectation is from God. I'm telling you, if anybody gets saved, it's God that does the saving. If anybody's called, it's God who does the calling. And I'm thankful for his wonders, the power of his presence in our lives. Then notice with me again, the power of his presence in our witness. And the power, listen, Satan is defeated. Strongholds of the devil are torn down. Souls are saved. Servants are sent. Saints are settled. He's faithful to his saints. And by the way, could I say, God doesn't let you see all that he's doing while he's doing it. I pastored a church in South Georgia, Thomasville, Georgia, for almost 15 years. There was a young man that came to visit our service. He came from Pelham, Georgia, and his father had just died. His mom, his younger brother and sister, and Dennis came to be in our services. And the mom, the younger brother and sister only came a time or two, but Dennis stayed. And he stayed there until I left the church. He stayed there. And then I just learned a little over a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, I learned that God called that boy to preach. And he'd spent 20 years as associate pastor in Charleston, South Carolina. And then he pastored a church up in Illinois, and then went over near Reidsville, North Carolina. And today he's presently on staff at Ambassador College. And he sent me a text. He said, you will never know this side of heaven how much God helped me in those days at Eastside Baptist Church. And that's not me, that's God. But God every once in a while will let you see what he's doing far beyond what you comprehend. Amen. Understand, listen, God honors us by his faithfulness to reveal, but God sends us into the fields to reap. He does it also by promising that the fruit will remain. And John 15:16 said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 15:58, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I'm saying to you, God's going to settle the books, but he didn't settle them last night, and he won't settle them today, but there'll come a day when the books will be balanced, and we'll be glad that we served him with all our might and for his glory alone. And say the promising of the fruit out of that class, that little class that you're teaching, out of those young tots, listen, you've touched their lives. And listen, out of that little class, out of your church will come forth missionaries, will come forth preachers to preach the word of God. And by the way, I want to encourage you today just to keep on keeping on. Keep your hand on the plow, your eyes on the goal, and serve him until he comes at the rapture. I say to you, the future where we'll rejoice. He said, if any man serve me, him with my honor, my father honor, the promises of fruit will remain, and the future there will be rejoicing. One day the trumpet will sound, and the Savior will return. He's returning for his own. And Paul said this way, he said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad he is our hope. Our hope is not in Washington. I really don't think Mr. Biden knows who's on first. And I'm suspicious that if the news media knew he was on first, they couldn't report it correctly. I'm grateful that I know who's in charge. And he's not a politician. He's a Savior. And I say this. There's going to come, after the rapture of the church, there'll be the Bema Seat Judgment, where rewards and regrets will be realized. At the judgment seat of Christ, many will be honored for their faithful service. By the way, they don't have to call my name. They don't have to call your name. We're not doing what we're doing for the applause of men or to be recognized of men. I do what I do that God might get glory, that sinners might be saved, that saints might be encouraged and revived, and that service might be sent forth into the harvest field that's already white unto harvest. And so, but there'll be many who will be honored for their faithful Christian service. But there'll be also be many who will be filled with remorse because of a wasted life. Dr. Bill Rice had led a man to Christ years and years ago, up in his 60s, and he said he seemed like he got gloriously saved. He said he met him about 2 weeks later and said the man was so troubled and burdened down, and he said, well, he must be doubting whether he got saved or not. And so he said, sir, what's going on in your life? He said, I thought you said you got saved. He said, I did. But he said, well, what's troubling you? He said, what am I going to tell him? He said, what do you mean, what am I going to tell him? He said, what am I going to tell him about all these wasted years? And by my dear friend, that'll be revealed at the judgment. The remorse because of wasted life, a life misspent in the service of Christ. I believe at the great white throne judgment, there'll be tears of regret. The tears of regret that, they passed up the opportunities. They refused to receive. They rebelled against God. And now they're being judged to be cast into the lake of fire. And so we're rejoicing over the redemption. John wrote it this way in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 5. In Revelation 5, in verse number 9, the Bible said this. He said, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made unto us our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. The matter of reign. I believe the determination of our reign with Christ in the millennium will be according to our faithfulness to the Word of God while we live. And so he remarks the remarks of honor by saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He didn't say, well done, thou good and successful, but he said, well done, thou good and faithful service. That'll be worth, are you listening? That'll be worth all the heaviness. It'll be worth all the hard places. It'll be worth all the heartaches that we've ever encountered on our way home. It'll be worth it all when we see Christ. He would honor us further by presenting crowns of rewards. I'm not one of those that believes that God gives crowns for folks to strut around heaven and to show off. If you get any crown at all, it'll be something that'll be laid at the feet of the worthy one, the Lamb of God, that's worthy of our praise and honor and our service. So there'll be crowns for the faithful service. There'll be crowns for soul winning. There's crowns for suffering. There's crowns for separation. And it'll be honor by being a part of his personal reign, according to Revelation 5 and verse number 10. Our prayer, your prayer, my prayer should be this. O God, our Father, help us to abide in our calling, the calling of service, until you call us home. If any man serve me, him will my